Psalm 22, verse 13. Psalm 22 and verse number 15. Verse 15 says, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death." This is the crucifixion psalm in the Bible. This is the psalm of the cross. It starts with verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Those are the words of Jesus on the cross. This whole Psalm 22 are the words of Jesus while he's on the cross. What is so amazing, there's so many amazing things about this psalm, and we covered this on a Wednesday night, but when you look at verse number 16, the end of it says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." This is 600 years before Jesus is crucified. They are not crucifying people yet. That will start in about 400 years. This is a prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me how many people who say they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the Bible is God's word, and yet our whole earth, north, south, east and west, is mapped out based on one city where our Lord was crucified. When you look at Jerusalem, everything to the left of Jerusalem is called the what? The west. Everything towards the right is called the east. The one city where our Savior was crucified is the middle of the globe. Now, all of us know, you know what time changes are and time patterns? You know, we all know that's based out of England, right? But not east and west. That's based on Jerusalem. Just so stupid for somebody to say, "Oh, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe it's God's word." You're an idiot. God calls you a fool. Amen. Not me. I didn't say that. God does, if you don't believe the Bible. Well, here in this psalm, these are the words of Jesus, the crucifixion, his words while he's on the cross. Now listen, he's on the cross, and in verse 15 he says, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd or a piece of pottery, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death." Now take your Bible and go to John 19. Look at verse number 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, watch, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." What scripture? He was fulfilling Psalm 22. He had to fulfill that on the cross. "My tongue is dry, He's dehydrating." I'll show you that here in just a second. But to fulfill Psalm 22 while he's on the cross, he had to say, "I thirst. I thirst." Did you know your body is about 70%? Just keep your Bible open there for a little bit. Your body is 70% water, depending on your age. The surface of Earth is 71% water. In other words, we have more water surface than we do land surface. Why did God make the world that way? Because our bodies need so much water. We're on an Earth that God created to be inhabited. You can survive a few days, many days, quite a few days, without food. But you can only survive 3 days without water. If you don't take any drink of any fluid, you will die in 3 days. In 3 days. You must have water to be healthy. You have to have water to be comfortable. You have to have water to live. And we're so blessed in America, right? We've got tap water, well water, running water, bottled water. We have ionized water, distilled water. Right now, the nearest water source to everybody in here is about 15 steps to the hallway. And the moment I started talking about water, there's several people go, Yeah, I'm thirsty. Hang with me, you can get a drink here in just a minute. But right now, we're so blessed here in America, the nearest water source is literally about 15 steps from you. It's that way for most. Do you understand? We've got water outlets on our refrigerators, right? That give you cold water, okay? That give you cold water. I know we're supposed to pray and thank the Lord before we eat every time. But I think we ought to pray and thank the Lord before every time we take a drink. We're blessed. And if you don't think we're blessed over here, go where the water's nasty, like Mexico. Go to Africa. I have a friend who's been here one time, but he goes to Africa one time a year, down to southern Africa, where they don't have wells. His engineering company will drill a well. They'll advertise it. It takes about 3 days to drill a well down deep till they hit water. They advertise it. They'll have 1,000 people come to that. And then they'll preach the gospel where they're starting a well. And they'll have several hundred people saved. You say, why? Because water is rare in many parts of the world. Here in America, we're blessed. Now let me take your mind to our passage here in the Bible. In John 19, as Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross, listen closely, His tongue is searching His mouth with all of its tears. They've taken His beard, they've ripped it out of His face. They have punched Him and there's holes in His lips where His teeth have come through. His tongue is searching every crevice of His mouth, looking for water, hoping to find some water at the roof of His mouth, hoping to find some comfort as He's suffering, and there's no water to be found. He was literally dehydrating, dying of thirst. He had lost so much fluid from His body through the excruciating torture He had already been through. The fluid that he had lost. Then to make matters worse, in verse number 29 it says, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to His mouth. Right when He said, I thirst. They said, oh, you want water? In another part of the scripture, it says they put vinegar mingled with gall. That's the nastiest, foul, bitter. Oh, you want water? Here. And they raised it up to His mouth. It stinks. It's bitter. They're making fun of Him while He's thirsting. And they give Him this. If that had been the only suffering Jesus had endured, was His dehydration and His seeking water. If there had been no scourging, and there was. If there had been no crown of thorns, and there was. If there had been no nails in His hands and His feet, and there was. To die of thirst is a horrible death. To die of dehydration. When your body starts to lose water, the headache, it gives a new meaning to the word migraine. You feel like your mind's going to explode. Because why? We're 70% water. It's a major part of our body, how God made us. When someone says they're thirsty, and you want to get them something to drink to help them. I remember when my wife was giving birth to our children, there was a couple of the births where she said, I'm so thirsty. And at that time, then the nurses had to say, we can't give you anything right now. Not right now. But I'm so thirsty. And I couldn't give my wife any water. because I wasn't allowed to at that particular time in the delivery. When you hear somebody say, I'm thirsty, you want to get them some water. If I started coughing up here or clearing my throat or needing something, if I said, could somebody get me some water? I'm sure somebody would have no problem getting me some water. But could I make it through the sermon without water? Yes, I could. Here Jesus is dying on the cross and He is dying of thirst. He's been whipped. All that He's been through. Would you think with me just for a second? Here's the Son of God hanging on the cross saying, I thirst. The Creator of all the oceans and rivers and seas, and the One who made the snow and the rain in the palm of His hand. If He wanted to, He could have quenched His own thirst. He didn't have to. He could have provided Himself a drink if He wanted, but He didn't. He didn't have to cry out or ask anybody for water. But what we read was that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Jesus Christ came into this world to fulfill everything that God said the Messiah would do to rescue lost sinners. And part of that was dying of dehydration. That was one of the things He died of. Psalm 22 prophesies He will desire water and it will be denied Him while He's dying for our sins. Take your Bible now and go to Exodus 12. We looked at it this morning in Sunday school, but take your Bible and go to Exodus 12 and watch this. What is so amazing about that statement that Jesus makes on the cross? I thirst. I thirst. And it wasn't just, He's suffering. What type of suffering? Let's look at Exodus chapter 12, Genesis, Exodus. Look at chapter 12 and look at verse number 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. This is the famous Passover chapter. And God says, take a lamb, and that lamb will be enough for that house, and the house across the street, and the house next to you, and the house down the street. Do you know why? Jesus is the lamb. And there's always enough of the lamb to share. There's never a shortage of the lamb. That's verse 4, right? Why? Because we're all supposed to be telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. The neighbor, the one across the street. Isn't that amazing that that's in your Bible? Then watch this. Look at verse number 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The whole congregation would cry, crucify Him. The whole congregation. Then watch this. And they shall take the blood, take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night. Look at these three words. Roast with fire. The way the lamb was supposed to be cooked was roasted in the fire. You say, why? Well, watch this. It says, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Look at verse 9. Eat not of it raw. In other words, don't eat the lamb raw. Nor sodden. What's sodden? That means boiled. I personally don't like boiled chicken, unless you're making soup. But, when somebody says, oh, we're having steak. Well, how'd you fix it? We boiled it. Couldn't put it on the grill, you know what I mean? No, we boiled it, isn't that one? At any rate, God said, eat not of it raw, nor sodden it at all with water. But here's these three words again, roast with fire. his head with his legs and with appurtenance thereof. And then, of course, the next verse says all of it's supposed to be eaten. As Jesus fulfilled the scripture on the cross as the Passover lamb, as he fulfilled Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, all of the scripture that would tell how the Messiah was going to suffer, the creator of water suffered unquenchable thirst as he roasted and burned and was tormented with the fire of God's wrath on that cross. As he hung on that cross, you say, why? It was fulfilling how the lamb was supposed to die. He was roasting with hell's fire, suffering our hell. To show you that, let's go to another place. Take your Bible now and go to Luke 16. Luke chapter 16. So sad to hear the cult say that this is a parable. This isn't a parable. Jesus never used the name of anybody in a parable. This is an actual account of somebody that died and went to hell. Watch this. Luke chapter 16, look at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That word sumptuous means he had the finest food, the finest water. His house was made out of the finest wood. He had sumptuously means there was nothing better. He fared everything in his life was the best you could buy. Every day. He fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. When you read that, it doesn't say that the rich man gave Lazarus the crumbs from his table. It says Lazarus was so hungry he wanted the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Then his only medicine that he had for his sores on his body was the licking of the dog, the dogs licking his wounds. That's the only medicine he had. Then, verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Stop. That's what happens when a saved person dies. Whether you die of a heart attack or a car wreck, when a saved person dies and their heart beats for the last time, what happens? The Bible plainly teaches angels come and carry you to heaven. And it's not a long flight. Now, that's the first part of the verse. Tells us how every saved person dies. Well, what happens when you die? There's one explanation. Amen. God gives us. Look at the last part of the verse. The rich man also died and was buried. And notice the colon that is after the word buried. There's not a period there. It doesn't say the rich man died and was buried. That's because that's not the end of it when you die. When your heart beats for the last time, there is more to follow. And if you're lost, like the rich man, it says, then you can go into the next verse, it says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. There's the period. The period comes after hell. After hell, there is nothing more. They're in there forever. There's the period. Jesus did teach a literal hell, and Jesus did teach more about hell than he taught about heaven. If you look at the verses, Jesus never gave us an example. In other words, Jesus never equaled it. Here in Luke 16, Jesus says, let me tell you how somebody died and went to hell and what their first words out of their mouth are. Jesus never said, now let me tell you about someone who died and went to heaven. And what their He only told us about somebody who died and went to hell, didn't he? He never told us about somebody. We know heaven's a real place. But all I'm trying to tell you this morning is Jesus preached more on hell than he did on heaven. And somebody said, well, I don't want to hear about hell. I just want to hear about... That's not how Jesus preached. Amen. Look at verse number 24. Here's, and he, the rich man, cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now I just need you to listen to me just for a minute. If you wonder why Jesus tells us Lazarus' name, but leaves off the rich man's name, listen. That's because Jesus said, if you die lost, he blots your name out of the book of remembrance. When they stand before him at the judgment seat, the words are what? I never knew you. I don't even know your name. That's if you're lost, right? If you're lost. How come in this parable you've got Lazarus, but the rich man doesn't have a name? Because he's lost. I never knew you. I don't even know your name. Then listen. This man who was rich but lost went immediately to hell. He had the finest comforts while he was on this earth, but the moment he died, he suffered the torments of a fiery hell. And the first thing he asked for wasn't a second chance. The first thing he asked for wasn't a deck of cards so he could party with his friends. There is no party in hell. I've heard people, I've given tracts to every once in a while, oh, I'm going to party with my friends in hell. Keep thinking that. You've been deceived. There is no party in hell. Watch this. The first thing the rich man asks for the moment he's in hell was water. Water. Not a bucketful, not a jar, not a glass. All he wanted was one drop. One drop. The burning was so severe that one drop would have shown some mercy and given relief. One drop. Now, my sermon this morning is not about hell. It's about Jesus hanging on the cross. And we've looked at Psalm 22 and John 19 and the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12. And we saw how that lamb is roast with fire. And then I took you to Luke 16 to show you how when somebody goes to hell, they are immediately burning. And the first thing they scream for is water, is water. You know what Jesus did on the cross? Listen, he took your place. Jesus Christ took my place. I was sentenced to spend eternity roasting in the fire of God's wrath, but Jesus Christ went to the cross and was roasted with the fire of God's wrath. I was on my way to a place where there is no party. Where people who have rejected the grace and mercy of God cry out for one drop of water. That's where I was going. That's where you were going before you got saved. And if you aren't saved this morning, that's where you are going. Jesus Christ allowed my everlasting thirst to be placed upon him. He allowed my torment in unquenchable fire to be heaped on him. Look at Luke 16, look at verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The moment the beggar died, he didn't go to a place to plead with God or a courtroom to be judged. He went straight into the place of comfort. And when that rich man died, he went straight to a place of torment. That tells me, you're going to do your business with God while you're alive. And if you die without trusting Christ, it's too late. There is no, okay, God. And I'll give a tract to somebody and they'll say, well, I'm just going to let the Lord figure it out. I said, you don't understand. You've already been condemned. You're already damned on your way to hell. There is no slamming of the gavel of the judge. There is no, you're already on your way to hell. What do you mean you're going to let God figure it out? You die, it's too late. I this morning am going to a place of comfort because Jesus Christ took my place, roasting and burning and suffering and crying out for water that never came. That is real love. That's real love that He took my place. Look at, you're in Luke 16, look at verse 25 one more time. Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Lazarus and the rich man were both Jews, right? They're both sons of Abraham. But the rich man wasn't a son of God. It doesn't matter who your physical daddy is or who your grandparents are. It doesn't matter what your lineage or your ethnicity. It doesn't matter. You have to get born again. You have to get saved. That's what this teaches me here. You may have Christian parents and come from a family that is saved, but you still have to personally believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I return my thoughts to Jesus Christ on the cross, this morning, I have a comforter because Jesus was tormented. Jesus never did one thing to deserve the torment, but I never did one thing to deserve the comfort. Jesus took my place, listen, so that I could go to His place, heaven. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible has nothing to say about purgatory. You say, well, what about purgatory? It has nothing to say about purgatory. Heaven, hell, place of intermediate, judged by wind, water, and fire, where you're purged until you can go to heaven. The Bible has nothing to say about that. Purgatory, purgatory is like Never Never Land. It's like Middle Earth. Or considering the possibility that the Clintons might be good people. It doesn't exist. You understand? Okay, I just wanted to see if you were listening. I'm glad you're listening. When someone dies without Christ, they go to a place of torment forever. They don't go to a temporary place like purgatory. That is a false teaching. If you're saved, you can't go to hell, where no one ever gets out if they die lost. It's hard for us this morning to conceive, listen, someone suffering fiery torments, much less suffering fiery torments forever. Now, I'm trying to go to the cross here. Jesus suffered my eternal hell on that cross. Jesus suffered the eternal hell of all of us. For every person ever born, and our minds can't take that in. Our hearts can't take it in. There is no teaching. You say, what are you combating this morning? Joyce Myers is a false teacher. She teaches Jesus died on the cross, went to hell, and was tormented by demons to pay for our sins. That is a lie out of hell. Jesus didn't go to hell to suffer. He suffered on the cross. Our hell. That's why He said, I thirst. He was being roasted with fire. Joyce Myers is a false teacher. And you should. I hope you don't have her books in your house or don't listen to her. She's garbage. Besides that, a woman preacher? Okay. That's not in the outline. That's just, that was free. Amen. Okay. Okay. Okay, let's go back to our sermon here. Ready? Now, let's look at what Jesus made of. God gave us Luke 16 so we could see what Jesus suffered for you so you wouldn't have to suffer yourself. Now go to John chapter 7 and let's wrap this up with John chapter 7. Look what Jesus made available after he suffered and said, I thirst. After he was roasted with the fire of God's wrath on that cross, and he died for us, look what he made available. John chapter 7, look at verse 37. Watch this. I hope you mark this in your Bible and you think about it later, but watch this. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's amazing. Look at verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus said, as soon as I rise from the dead, I'm going to make it available so that when you place your faith in me, you'll get rivers of living water. Think about that just for a second. I'm 53 years old. I don't think in 53 years of living on this earth, I've drunk enough water to make up a river. And I think if you gave me my own personal river, here, this is your river. This is, if you need water, any time in your life you come to this, I think a river would be too much. Yet Jesus said in this passage, if you'll believe on me, I'll give you rivers of living water. Compare that to crying out for one drop of water. It's like God gives us a small glimpse of the difference between being lost and being saved. There's a great gulf fixed between being lost and saved, and I don't believe we can fully understand it. Because in hell, they scream for one drop of water, yet when you get saved, Jesus gives you rivers of living water. You become the source. Now, God closes his word with two chapters about heaven, and then says at the end of the Bible, Revelation 22, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The water of life freely.
Yes, there are walls of jasper and streets of gold. And yes, there's no more sickness in heaven. There's no more death, and God's going to wipe away every tear from our eye. And there's every manner of fruits growing on the tree. But the way God closes his word is, he says, when you're in heaven, you'll never thirst. You'll never thirst. You'll never be in a place crying for one drop of water. And if you're thirsty, Jesus said, drink living water. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll never thirst again. Thirst again. I couldn't put into words what the rich man suffered and continues to suffer in hell. Yet Jesus suffered the torments for every man and every woman for all time, which is why he can offer every man and every woman living water because of how he suffered. Jesus said, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. This is an aspect of the cross, of the cross. I hope it's a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, please, Lord, what you've done, Lord, you give us a glimpse of in your word, what you've done for us.